B-Pod Studios.
30.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and Rich, we are no strangers to having athletic celebrities call our show under the guise of being someone else.
I forget what this person went under when he called. Was it Joe from Southern California, I believe?
It was someone from Southern California.
Matt from Southern California, when we got this phone call from someone who was definitely Tom Brady.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But hey, what are you going to do? You can't.
It's not complaining. Reveling in it. It's reveling in the idea that Edelman, despite his success, is still just wants to be in Empire Strikes Back. He just wants to cut Tom Brady open and crawl inside,
like the Tauntaun.
Indeed.
Well, right on, guys. Listen, I love your show. So keep it up, man.
Thanks. All right. So he called in and was saying, why are you guys complaining about, you know, Tom Brady? He's the GOAT. And we're like, well, I mean, immediately after we had the phone call, a ton of people ended up saying, hey, that was Tom Brady that called. And we went back and listened to it. And sure enough, I believe that was Tom Brady. Matter of fact, we asked him about it. And he asked me if I was on drugs, remember?
No, it was Tom Brady. he was hiding. But yesterday, it was Bertrand and Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
They had a phone call that is believed to be from someone who is making headlines locally and nationally.
Now, let's just put one thing out there. We've talked to all sorts of ex-athletes in this town. Ted Johnson's talked about it. Any kind of anyone, Brandon Merriweather's talked about this. The majority of them read the papers. And they listen to the radio to see what people are saying about them. We all agree, right?
Right. Yes.
Despite them feigning that they don't.
No, they
after
do.
They all retire, they all say, oh, yeah, we listen to everything.
Yeah, I can put it in a language that people will understand, is that if you knew there was a meeting going on and they were talking about you and you've taped it, would you listen to the tape? And the answer is 1,000 times yes.
Most of the time, yes.
I mean, you'd never be able to resist it.
Sure.
I mean, you wouldn't be able to resist it. So if people are talking about you, you're going to tune in.
So
even someone like Tom Brady.
So yesterday during the Bertrand and you said Hardy, they were in a studio and they had been talking about Kyrie Irving and the way that all of us have discussed him lately, you know, being a team ruiner.
Rich wrote a song that he's going to come to. It's going to come to roost when Kyrie Irving comes back.
That's right. And out of nowhere, they get a phone call from a gentleman. I don't know what name he went by, but let's take a listen. This is yesterday, while discussing Kyrie Irving, the Midday Show receives this call.
Let's go to Mikey in Waltham. Mikey.
Hey, so I was just calling in saying that with such a rare talent like Kyrie, it's such a shame that the fans didn't welcome him in more. Talents like those are so rare, they don't come by fast, and I think it serves us right that now he's gone and look at what we're left with.
Oh, my God. Wow. No, that's him. That's it. It's the inflection. That is him. It's not just the voice. It's the inflection in the way he talks. You can't hide that.
You guys are
Tom, put us side by side. You want to hear side by side, back
yep,
and forth?
Yep,
back
yes.
Hold on. Before we do, is it Kyrie on the phone or
no.
Just Kyrie speaking?
Nope, Kyrie speaking.
All right.
With such a rare talent like Kyrie.
And then you start figuring out what is important to you off the floor.
It's such a shame that the fans didn't welcome him in more.
It'll be an unbelievable experience for something new.
Talents like those are so rare, they don't come by fast.
Oh, it's him. That's him.
Still
no, that's
exist
him.
And all that. Get the maximum potential out of who you have on the floor.
I think it serves us right that now he's gone and look at what we're left with.
Not only to us as individuals, but us as a collective group and a team.
Yeah, that's Kyrie
Dude,
Irving.
Dude, that's Kyrie Irving. I'm on Team Bertrand on that one. That is Kyrie freaking Irving calling in. No question in my mind. I mean, I know it's Tom Brady, but I'm more certain this time that it was Kyrie Irving.
I'm not more certain
than
it was Tom Brady because I know for a fact it was Tom Brady.
Well, at the time, now I'm certain it was Tom Brady because inside sources told us Tom Brady did indeed call.
Yeah. I'm wondering if I should have gotten my picture taken with
the. Go do it. He's right there. He's right there.
He's sitting on the lobby.
Leave right now. We got to go to commercial break anyway.
Go get him.
Nah, he left.
Well, he's going to be here for a couple minutes.
Do you think that I should have got my picture taken with him?
Definitely.
Yes.
Dude, it's cute. I can't understate how obsessed I was with the Lost Boys. And Young Guns was, like, wildly underrated. Young Guns 2 was better than Young Guns 1.
Jack Bauer came to visit. You don't let him get away. Come on. Go.
And listen, you and I aren't picture hounds. We're not the kind of people who, like, take a ton of pictures of celebrities. I got one with Kiefer Sutherland.
I want to know what Kiefer Sutherland said to you before you took your selfie. That's what I want to know.
Oh, he said, I want to personally apologize to your brother for getting
because
him
the selfie you posted has you laughing your ass off in the middle of it.
And he goes, and I want you to personally call him and apologize to your brother. And, like, it was almost like, I think he thought he was recording a video at the time, but I was just doing a selfie.
Okay.
I thought that was great. Right. So, yeah. Dude, go get a picture with him.
I think I lost my opportunity.
No, he's going to be here for another, like, 30 minutes.
Well, I'm not going to, like, hang around the studio.
What's Bird got to do? Have him trail.
Bring him over here when he sees
things are about to wrap up.
Bird, go tell Kiefer Sutherland and ask him if he could come by here at some point so I could take a picture with him. Thank you.
By the way, somebody says, you guys are absolutely insane to think that's Kyrie. This is embarrassing. Not even close to being Kyrie. Well, you're wrong.
I don't know. What the hell is that guy? That was obviously Kyrie.
Obviously Kyrie.
Obviously. Why wouldn't he call? Is it beyond, are we like, beyond reason that he would actually call the radio station?
Kyrie seems like a fairly, like, you know, common sense
athletes listen to sports radio all the time. They're lying if they don't. He was probably pissed off about something, called up. Under an assumed name, Tom Brady did it. Why can't Kyrie Irving do it?
And it even almost sounds to me like he was trying to disguise his voice a little bit.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
It's obvious. I don't know what you guys are listening to.
It's the inflection. They nailed it. It's the inflection. It's the way he speaks.
Yeah, now I'm upset that I didn't get the picture.
You're going to get a picture.
Don't worry. Bird's got it. He's got it covered.
Because I never want one.
Right.
Like after an interview.
But then I thought the interview went exceptionally well.
No,
he was
interview
friendly.
Was great.
He was great. Of course he'll take a picture with you.
No. I don't. I know he will. I just I thought that I didn't think of it. Dan, did you get a picture?
I walked in and handed you my camera, my phone. I'm like,
oh,
here.
That's right.
Dude, yeah. Everybody got a picture, but you.
Yep.
Maybe that's because I'm the coolest. Because every time I take a picture, I have to see myself.
Yeah. Yeah. My picture with him is not exactly flattering, but I haven't, so that's all that matters.
But I don't care.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it appears that that I've made a mistake. All right. Nonetheless, we will have Meatballs in Manhattans. You can enjoy the entire Toucher and Rich show, our final appearance of the year. And Mark Gemelli, everyone's favorite dad, and that is happening Tuesday from 7 to 9 at Hurricanes at the Garden. That's 7 to 9 p.m. This is a private party for 21 years and older, $25 to get in, $5 from every ticket goes to Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Everyone gets a Toucher and Rich t-shirt, which is worth $1 million. And someone's going to go home for with new recliner. Saugus' own adult film star, Tyler Faith, will be dining with Mark Gemelli. You can see the awkwardness of a first date. All this will be going on. Get your tickets now at 98.5thesportshub.com. We have well over 100 people who have already participated in this. We'll be right back.
Do you like to watch?
The answer is simple.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know. It's just a thing with me, you know. If I see something that I like, it's, I have to go for it.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Do your kids ever ask for anything and you go, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And then you realize that it's way, 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 way more expensive than you thought it was going to be.
Expensive?
And you've already promised?
Not expensive. More of a pain in the ass, yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is, so, you know, we go to my parents' house for like 2 weeks in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already made the mistake of buying a jet ski because I thought I could pull them on a... there's 90-year-old women that pull their grandchildren on tubes behind a jet ski, but I managed to, and everyone I know says they didn't even know this could happen. I managed to capsize mine when I was trying to pull them because I was too much of a pussy to, like, go fast enough. Because, like, just, like, was afraid. I won't drive my dad's boat because the dock to get in is, like, super narrow.
And your father is hyper aware that you can't park that thing.
But I told you the time.
He's screaming at you. Wait, just stop on this story for one second because it was priceless. Your father actually gave you a shot at this to dock the boat.
and was standing over you and screaming the entire time. So you will not go back and do this, so you won't have to go through that again, correct?
No, he's made, just like my parents have done with everything in my life, he's made me completely afraid to operate this boat. I swear to God, when I'm with them, yeah. I feel like I'm 10 years old.
Right.
I mean, they make me, they infantilize me, or whatever the hell the term is. Like, I feel like I'm a little kid.
Okay.
I told you what happened on the golf course the other day.
Yes.
First of all, my father wanted to play in
a downpour. Yes.
A downpour.
Yes. Yeah.
And the guy that I was playing with, that I know, my neighbor, kept effing with me because he knew I was hating it and just going, oh, we'll just do one more hole. And then he'd like nudge me. And then my father.
Was there any thought of you just saying, Dad, if you want to play, go ahead. I'll wait for you at the clubhouse.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't,
you're in a downpour. There's no reason to do this.
Then my mom starts crying and everything. So okay. So he's like, Captain, like, we gotta go fast. By the way, he plays like he's playing in a PGA tournament. Since I've joined this place, I play with guys. And like, there's no rules, and you can talk and everything. My father demands silence, and you have to put, like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry. Like, this constant panic and nerves that someone's going to catch up with you.
Sure.
He's raised me that way, and it's amazing to play with that people that are, like their age, that are actually enjoying themselves instead of panicking and freaking out. And I told you this story recently, that my father, who's Mr. We Gotta Play Fast, is hunkered over his shot, and the phone rings, and he's like, God damn it, Lynn! And like, she can control the phone, so she picks up the phone and walks behind the cart, and she starts talking. My dad throws his club down and goes, will you shut up? Like, her being on the phone is such an incredible distraction. Jeez. Like, hearing someone talk is such an incredible distraction. And then he F's up the shot, and tosses his club in the air because my mother ruined everything by talking. So this is the thing. And so I feel bad because I can't drive the boat and I can't pull anyone on. I can drive the jet ski, but I can't pull anyone on. So they got these inflatable trampolines. They're in, they go in the water.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? So you figure it's an inflatable thing. Like, I could get an above-ground pool for, like, $500.
Yep. Oh, that was magical.
That's the Price is Right.
So you won the Daily Dish Showdown.
I did. So I figure, all right, and I go to the kids. We're at dinner. I've had some wine. I go to the kids. I go, yeah, I'll get you one of those. Yeah, Dad's the best. Hooray. Guess how much those things cost?
$1,000.
Higher.
I would have said $1,000.
$1,500 is what those things cost.
Oh, goodness. My God.
For an inflatable tube, they're $1,500, and I bought it. Because, like, I promised. And apparently it weighs about 500 pounds, and you have to tie, like, cement blocks to it to anchor it.
What a pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a fun day at the old Toucher household, doing that thing together. Oh, the screaming and the crying that will occur.
And no one gets hurt on those things either.
They don't, like, bounce. It's not even that.
Trampolines in general are not a good idea.
But it's not even cool because it doesn't really bounce. Like, you kind of just, it's just like mesh. Like it does, it's not like a proper trampoline. Okay. It doesn't have springs.
Right.
And so you don't even get hurt on it. They just push each other off of
it. So it's not fun. It's expensive. It's tough to put together. Sounds like an amazing weekend for you, Fred.
Oh, no.
Like, how
my mom will cry. My dad will scream at me. I will scream at my father. My wife will go away. My kids will be confused on why everyone's crying and yelling.
Why does your father scream at you?
That's when you just say, well, it's your fault.
Yeah, why does your father scream at you all the time? I'm just trying to nail this down. Because I remember the two of you got in a heated argument about the house while you were in the recovery room after your son was born, too.
No, my daughter. And my daughter had literally just been born.
And he was screaming at you about a flood in the house. And
yeah, the sewage started. We had just bought our house.
And you said something along, I can't deal with this now, and your father didn't like that.
No, he came in screaming at you. When he came in to the hospital to meet my daughter, he was looking at me like he wanted to fight and like bawling his fist. No, what happened was we'd moved into a house, and that morning, the next morning, sewage started coming up from all the sewers, and he called me, and I'd been in the house for 8 hours.
Yeah.
He called me, and he said, what do I do? I go, we left you the numbers for the contractors. Call the contractors. And then he calls me in a panic. I mean, I'm holding my daughter for the... I'm not exaggerating. I'm holding my daughter for the first time. Mm-hmm. He calls back in a panic and says, Freddie, they're not answering the phone. So I said, all right. And he goes, what do you want me to do? I don't know, a-hole. What would you do? He's like, Google it, stupid. Like, this is what I'm saying to him. Like, Google it, dummy. Like, I'm holding my daughter. And then he's like, well, it's coming out through this thing. I go, well, in front of the garage door. I go, what did you do? He goes, I opened the garage door.
Let the sewage come in.
Yeah,
because, I'm of like, course, your driveway would. Yeah.
How would I possibly know, having lived in Newton for 8 hours, any more than you know about what to do? I'm not a plumber. Google plumbers. Emergency plumbing. Yeah. So I.
So you're going to bite the bullet? You're going to get it?
I bought it. I bought it on Amazon, and it's getting mailed to them, and I can't wait for it to show up because it probably weighs about 8 tons.
Oh, sure. And it's not like that's like easy to store either.
Oh. Well, they got a guy, Jeff, that comes by and like handles all their stuff.
Oh, big Jeff.
Like, Jeff can fly planes, and like Jeff like has a dog that he takes everywhere. And he like can fix everything and like do electrical work.
Basically, he's there to emasculate you. Anytime you can't
do anything. No. He built the house. So Jeff's like the man. Just a nice guy.
No, I mean, not on purpose.
No.
But when he shows up, Jeff has no problem putting that together.
Well, Jeff's a contractor.
I find it interesting.
He's not my neighbor.
Well, I was going to say, you have one in Newton, and now you have one in Tennessee. This is great.
Jeff, I'm not an electrician. like Jeff builds houses. I'm not.
Oh, and what do you do, Freddie? Oh, you make jokes? That's
make a lot of money on the radio.
No, I
make more than Jeff.
He's got a point there.
So, I'm just kidding. I don't make any money. But Jeff is not a Superman. He's a contractor. He's very nice to my parents. But Jeff will probably handle all that. I hope to God he will. Yeah. $1,500.
How much did the paddleboard set you back?
Well, I bought a paddleboard when they didn't sell them in the United States.
Okay, so how much did the paddleboard set you back?
Oh, it was a lot. Yeah, it was like over $1,000 because I got it from Hawaii.
But it was less than this thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because I bought like a paddleboard when you couldn't buy it.
Right. So this, you would say this would be the bigger mistake than the paddleboard.
Why didn't they sell them in America, but they sold them in Hawaii?
You understand what I'm saying. Jesus. I knew someone was going to hop on that.
I knew someone was going to hop on that. I'll let you do it. That's fine.
Because I bought it before. America took it over.
I'll actually blame Dan for that. I don't usually do that.
I thought it was funny enough.
Sorry. The continental United States. Yeah, the continuous 48. Thank you, Dan. I had to go to Hawaii. Which is far away.
Right.
Was this guy's name is Jeff? Is that right?
Yeah.
Someone said Jeff sounds like the son Fred's father always wanted.
Well, listen, it's not like my dad's fixing anything. Especially when they broke the dock during the party I threw. All right. Well, listen. Everyone go buy a $1,500 trampoline. That your kids will use for 2 weeks a year. We will be back. This is the headlines, right? We'll be back here at the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5. There's someone very special I want you guys to meet. Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With the 14th pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Romeo Langford from Indiana University.
There is Romeo Langford, averaged 16 points a game in his sole season in Indiana. He grew up in Indiana. He spurned a lot of prep schools who wanted him to play there. Instead, was a superstar for New Albany High School, scoring more than 3,000 points. He's a big Michael Jackson fan in terms of the music and.
Not a fan of the pedophilia.
No, I just saw that.
Because immediately when you hear someone's a fan of Michael Jackson, you say, is it the music or the pedophilia?
Thank you for clarifying. I was really, really worried that he was somebody who was...
The music sucks, but I love The Wiz and pedophilia.
You wanted to ease on down the road, did you?
The Wiz is one of the most disturbing things that's ever happened in mankind.
I remember that being on, like, I think HBO used to run that, like, all the time when I was a kid. And that movie was confusing.
It was terrifying.
Frightening.
The makeup they had on it was terrifying.
Yep. All right. Yeah.
So I watch far more college basketball than I do pro basketball, and I have theories on the draft. Now, interestingly enough, the kid they took in the second round from Purdue, I saw Purdue play twice, and I saw him in the tournament. But the two times that they played Michigan State, I think I saw all but like five Michigan State games.
I got to double check the numbers. I meant to look those up.
I don't recall him.
Yep. He is, because he's the one guy I did recall, and that's because of that massive game that he had against, it was Virginia, right, where he ended up scoring 42 points.
He had two games of 42 points in the tournament. And he really stood out. That's a guy you looked at and went, okay, he's 6 feet tall, 195 pounds. He's shorter than everyone else on the floor, and he's carrying Purdue deep into the tournament by himself.
I think he scored over half the offense that game. I mean, 42 points. He just lit it up, and that was the one that stood out. And if you watch some of his highlights, I mean, he's an undersized guard. So, I mean, he's obviously 6'1", but he makes circus shots, falling backwards from three, mid-range jumpers. It doesn't matter. You have an absolute offensive assassin as long as, you know, he doesn't get defended too well in the NBA.
There's a chance he could be a backup point guard. All right, Grant Williams from Tennessee. I was surprised anyone from Tennessee got drafted. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make the team. And then I love the pick of Romeo Langford. Now, Romeo Langford was a top five player coming out of high school, and you go, well, what does that mean? Well, he's only a year older. And he played with a bum thumb on his shooting hand. He played for an awful Tennessee team. He had a messed up thumb on his shooting hand and still averaged 15 points a game. They beat Michigan State twice, and you say, oh, Fred, Michigan State. Well, this is the games I watched. They didn't make the tournament. So if you, and he dominated. I mean, at the end of games, he dominated. And I think if he would have sat out when he hurt his hand, he would have been taken in the top 10. But he played through it, which I think is a great character thing. And I believe that he is going to be a very good player in the league.
So what you have said seems to be kind of echoing what a lot of the people, even last night, said, and a lot of the analysis I've seen this morning, that he's a solid scorer off the dribble. He can score from anywhere.
He's not a great shooter, but I believe
he's a confident shooter. They say,
yeah, but he's not. He didn't have great numbers from outside. I don't know how much of that was his thumb, but I believe that's something that in his body type that you can improve.
Okay, so according to Kevin O'Connor, who I think does the best job with his draft coverage than anybody else, he broke down the minuses on this guy, and they said he's currently uncomfortable off the ball. He struggles at spot-up shooting, and he's not an aware cutter. He's a ball stopper. Though he can complete basic passes to rollers and shooters for kick-out threes, he has a bad habit of pausing before making a dribble or picking up his dribble before passing. The decision-making needs to improve. He dribbles into traffic too often, and though he drew a lot of fouls at Indiana, he's a below-the-rim player who may not draw as many at the next level. And finally, he's a spacey defender who falls asleep off the ball and makes slow reads even when he's paying attention.
Well, all that can be taught. All right, go ahead, John.
A couple of things. Carson Edwards, 11 points and 14 points in his two meetings with Michigan State, and those represent two of his worst five games of the season.
That's why I don't
He had him. Six games of 30 points or more, including the two big ones in the tournament. The other 42-point game, by the way, against Villanova, the defending champions, in the second round of the tournament. Now, as far as Langford is concerned, obviously, Fred, you believe, and the Celtics believe, that finger injury was the main reason why he couldn't shoot the ball well. Otherwise, he'd just be Marcus Smart, a guy who can defend the one, the two, and the three, and a very inconsistent shooter. So the Celtics obviously
believe he's a better natural scorer.
Better natural scorer than Smart is. The other thing about Langford, if you're looking for positives, is that he got hurt early in the year and decided, instead of hanging it up like a guy like Darius Garland did, and the fact that Garland didn't play helped him immeasurably in the draft.
Were you listening to me literally 3 minutes
ago? I'm sorry. I was looking at the numbers.
But I made that exact same point.
I apologize. I was trying to look up something you asked me to find.
I
apologize.
I appreciate it.
It's a positive that Langford played through it, and fans around here can get behind something like that.
I mean, because think about it. Think if a kid's a top five high school recruit, plays a year, is everything on that Indiana team, plays through an injury. I mean, you got to like the upside of him.
He's got to be. And the thing is, there's no learning curve. Like Robert Williams, they drafted and say, okay, you know, go play 5 minutes a game. Go spend some time in the G League. There's no G League for this kid. This kid has to contribute off the bench immediately.
Yes, and I believe he will. And I don't believe the kid from Tennessee is going to make the team. I'm surprised with
that. I think he will make the team. He'll make the team. He's absolutely going to make the team.
All right. Well, then I look for a solid 2 minutes a game for this kid.
Look, I am looking at the measurables on him. There aren't many 6'7" power forwards in this league.
No.
And he, like Langford, like you were reading about Langford, he plays below the rim too. But he's one of those gritty, gutty players. You know, again, Tennessee, you're right. The output was greater than the sum of their parts. Some of their parts. And Rick Barnes, a very good head coach, borderline College Basketball Hall of Fame head coach, led them in the right direction. But I got to believe they didn't draft him as a flyer. If they wanted to take a flyer, they would have taken Bol Bol. They would have taken Bol Bol at 22 if they wanted to take a flyer. They think this kid's going to make the team. Forget the point guard at LSU. He's like 5'11", 180. He is what he is. Edwards is the guy I'm really curious about because, as we've just detailed, he was an electric scorer for the most part in college, opened a lot of eyes against a lot of good competition at the NCAA tournament. I mean, you light up the eventual national champions for 42 points in a big game. That wasn't a first-round game either. That was what, Sweet 16, Elite 8?
Yep, I think that was Sweet 16.
So
and they ended up losing that game.
Obviously, kid has some game. I'd love to see him make it as the backup point guard to Terry Rozier.
I would love to have like a pure shooter on this team. Like a guy that is almost like an Eddie House type player.
And that's the thing. Like, when you lose guys.
Redick.
Right. When you lose Morris, who they're going to lose now.
Yep.
If you lose Kyrie and you lose Horford, you lose three pretty good 3-point shooters. I mean, and I know Jaylen Brown can take them and Jason Tatum can take them, but you need a guy.
An assassin off the bench.
Create his own shot. More specifically, his own 3-point shot off the dribble.
Wait, they're saying Langford plays below the rim?
That's you guys said that, not
no,
me.
No. He doesn't play below the rim.
Someone was reading a scouting report. Maybe it was Rich. He was reading a scouting report. Below the rim. I didn't see him as well. I saw him maybe twice.
He's a lousy 3-point shooter who's hesitant to hit 3-pointers, but I think that was his thumb, and that's something that he can learn.
Okay.
It says to what you were saying. It's from The Ringer, Kevin O'Connor, who does a good job.
He said
he dribbles into traffic too often, and though he drew a lot of fouls at Indiana, he's a below-the-rim player who may not draw as many at the next level.
That's what I heard.
He knows more than me, but you
need a guard if you're the Celtics that can create his own 3-point shot off the dribble.
Yes.
I mean, that's why Miami took this kid Harrow. I mean, that guy takes 5 to 10 three point shots a game for Kentucky. That was his thing. You need a guy like that. Marcus Smart is not that guy. You have a lot of spot up shooters that can take threes on this team, but you need a guy, not necessarily like a Kyrie, but you need a guy who can do that. And right now, I don't know if the Celtics have that. I guess you hope Edwards can be that.
Well, Hero, I tell you what, if anything else, if you know anything about him, he's a total douche.
I think we learned that immediately, Fred.
See, not only did he have the worst gold chain of all time on, he also is from suburban Milwaukee and decided to talk like he was from Watts.
That's right. Growing up where I grew up, not many kids made it out of suburban Milwaukee.
Yeah. Right. I mean, he looked like a guy from Color Me Bad. All right. So we will return. We're going to talk to a guy, John Taylor. If you've heard about the situation going on in Tampa Bay, this is one of the stranger things I've ever heard of in terms of what their plans are. Very odd.
It's a reason why baseball is slowly dying.
Yeah. Of all the places they could have chose to play more games. A city that literally did not want the team there. Oh, we'll take them back. You know what that reminds me of? This move, I know we got to take a break. It reminds me of Atlanta. Yep, we lost a team, but you know what? We want hockey back. What happened? They lost it again.
I think they're way better off in Montreal than they are in Tampa Bay.
Oh, we'll be right both, back. Totally. But not but both.
Both places suck for baseball.
I disagree about Montreal. All right, we'll be back.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kyrie's been good. He's returned calls. He's returned messages. He's been excellent. you know, Kyrie has always been respectful with me. He, you know, our one-on-one relationship has been good, and he's been open and honest with me from day one. So I have no issues at all with Kyrie. And I think that, you know, all the speculation, no, I really don't pay that much attention to it. So I didn't even know that there, like, they ghosted us was even out there. I had no idea.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and that was Danny Ainge talking after the draft. So much for my theory that there was a chance Kyrie Irving was coming back. It sounds like that ship has sailed.
Oh yeah, I mean it just and yesterday seemed to confirm it. And he tried to not say anything because he wanted to be diplomatic, but last night he made a few comments that make you believe that, yeah, everything that's been reported, everything you're hearing is true. Kyrie's gone. Whether he's going to the Nets, who knows? And Al Horford is going to take off. I thought he had some interesting comments. Do you want to play some of the stuff from here? Okay, this is last night. In front of the press, Danny Ainge talks for the first time since really the crap hit the fan.
I'm excited about our team going forward. I like where we're headed. I like the core young group of guys, and I think it's going to be really fun. I think we're going to be a really competitive team again. And I don't know what exactly the team is going to look like when it's all done, but free agency starts in 10 days or so, and we'll have more answers then. But I really like the core group of players that we have.
That said, everything that's happened lately or has been said to have happened, I mean, how much of this is a change in direction for you?
I mean, Mark, like what you just said to have happened. I mean, I shouldn't really comment on anything until things are done, right? I mean, so I really can't comment on all the things that are said to have happened yet, unfortunately. Need to wait. I wish I could. I wish I didn't have to have my counsel here waiting and protecting me from getting fined, but I wish I could tell you everything I know, but I can't.
Is it fair to say that there's a less clarity at this point going into free agency than maybe there was last year as far as how your roster is going to look?
Absolutely. Yes, less clarity. Very well said.
How do you
approach? All right, so basically, and then they ask him the same question 500 times.
No. And there's two other things there that are very telling.
Like okay, we don't got time, so what were they?
Well, the first one was, he goes, I think that this offseason or this team is going to give players who didn't have an opportunity where other to fill the spot of other players. So he's conceding right there that it sounds like several of the starters are going to be gone. And obviously Hayward or Horford, and Kyrie Irving being the two that you immediately think of. And then he was asked about, what do you think of the core players, you know, that you have now? And he goes, well, I can't, you know, I'm not going to define who the core players are. And he goes, well, just tell us about the ones you have currently on the roster. He goes, well, Jason Tatum's been great. He's been working out every day at the facility. Jaylen Brown's been here. He's been working hard. Robert Williams, Gordon Hayward has been here as well. And someone said, well, what about Terry Rozier? And he said, well, we haven't seen Terry at the facility. He hasn't been here, but you know, he's a hard worker. So I'm sure wherever he is, he's probably working on his game.
Yeah.
And that was and that hit me a little bit weird because he is the biggest fan of Terry Rozier of anybody that I know, despite him going all over television and crapping all over the stuff. What is Terry Rozier's deal?
Well, he's a restricted free agent,
which is why he's not at the facility.
Yeah, that's why he's not at the facility.
He's not being paid technically by the team right now. So if you don't have to come in and work out during the summer, and if you can work out at home, wherever that is for Rozier, I don't know off the top of my head. Wouldn't you?
No. Not after going on and saying that I can't wait to, like, let's get it going. No. I want to be a Celtic. No,
Danny Ainge loves him.
Restricted free agent?
Yes, Danny Ainge loves him. He will re-sign him.
But, however, I'm not working out at the facility because then that's just giving them, I mean, I'm letting other teams look at me. I'm not going to have anything to do with
this. If you're a restricted free agent, and God forbid this happens to him, but what if you're a free agent of some kind and you hurt yourself working out?
Oh, so you're saying he shouldn't work out anywhere?
No, I'm saying that
if he's not getting paid by the Celtics, I would not lend, I would not have it out there that I'm working out with the Celtics. I'd want to be working out on my own and, you know,
have teams bid on
this. This one fact, I don't think, needs to be drawn upon as a wedge between the two sides.
No, I agree. I wouldn't work out there either, and I think that anyone that was part of his team would tell him.
I don't think it matters. I think that the two sides have agreed that now that Kyrie is gone, even though Danny Ainge will not confirm that until July, Terry Rozier is the guy. Terry Rozier has shown multiple times that when he is the guy and there's no one else competing with him for that job, he is good, and he will be good for this team. And he is aggressive. He's not one of those distributors. He's a scoring point guard, and in this league, most good teams have that guy.
Well, John Taylor is joining us, not the underrated bassist from Duran Duran.
Not bad. Also,
he's great. If you listen to the mixes, they just go, John Taylor, here we go.
Power Station, he killed it too.
Yep.
Some like it hot and some sweat when the heat is on.
Yeah, but when your biggest hit is a cover song, I mean, then you're like Quiet Riot.
No, he had a John Taylor had a solo career, didn't he?
No, that is. Yeah, but yeah. To Get It On, Bang a Gong was their hit.
That was The Firm.
No, but no, they covered it.
That was T-Rex, and they T-Rex, and then they covered it. That was the second single after Some Like It Hot.
Oh, okay. You're right.